a poem by Tracy circa 1997. It's called Knowing. You know that feeling you get when you know something's true? I can feel it when I read about vampires. I can feel it pulsing through my veins like a dream or a nightmare. I can feel it swallowing me like I'm being thrust through a tunnel of endless wonders and mysteries that I shall never know. I can feel the truth, the presence, the passion of reality.
I heard swallowing and thrusting.
Welcome to Pod Thingy, where the geeks meet over drinks to discuss the latest in pop culture. Join the rock star, the author, the outlaw, and the nerd girl for Pod Thingy.
Welcome to Pod Thingy. My name is John Mulhall. You can find me at johnmulhall.com. I'm an author and stuff, and I write supernatural thrillers like Getty's Moon and the forthcoming Dark and Broken Things.
Things and stuff.
Yeah. That's what I do. And you are?
I am Hayden, a.k.a. Geek Outlaw, geekoutlaw.com, Wild Wild Podcast, sitting across from someone making faces from me, whose name is?
From you.
Yeah.
At you. Tracy, also known as Hot Nerd Girl, www.hotnerdgirl.com is the blog, facebook.com/hotnerdgirl, Twitter at Hot Nerd Girl, Pinterest, and the other person with long hair.
This introduction brought to you by Michael Bay. Hi, I'm Blaine.
Boobs.
Boobs.
Only with better acting.
Yeah. Oh, so were you done?
Are
you,
yeah.
Because you stopped.
Did you blow everything up? Or yeah. Did you leave something for the rest
Facebook,
of
Facebook, Twitter.
That was very unsatisfying, just like a Michael Bay movie.
Perfect.
And just for the record, if you know, I think it's fairly obvious that when I say I'm an author and Blaine says he's a music type guy, Hayden and Tracy are bloggers and they specialize in nerdy geeky content. Would that be accurate?
I would say so. Yeah, pop culture. Yeah.
I don't bring it up because I'm on vacation and I drink a lot. Fuck all of you.
All right.
It's a lot of gratuitous nerdity.
Gratuitous nerdity.
That's the title of this podcast.
Cha-ching.
And it should be a shirt as well.
I have a whole photo album on Facebook called that.
The way I figure it is we have at least three t-shirt possibilities for this podcast.
Perfect.
Outside of Pod Thingy, we have Blainist. Mm-hmm. We have Hayden's Be Hayden.
Yeah.
Or I Like Dinosaurs.
That
would be on the back.
I Like Dinosaurs, which is, I'm sorry, forbidden now. And now Gratuitous Nerdity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, our merch booth is going to rule.
Awesome.
So welcome back to the Grand Pod Thingy podcast. We are drinks with deeks. So we've got our drink of the week. This week it's a kamikaze,
is kind of ironic for 4th of July weekend.
Right.
Wait, what are you saying?
Oh my god.
Said, wow, that's...
I don't know, that's kind of an odd drink to be drinking on 4th of July, isn't it?
Somebody didn't think ahead on this one.
Fantastic. This is why I saved it.
That is great.
Cheers. America, America.
Right into my mouth. Wow. Flavor.
That's good stuff.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
A lot to get to today.
We do. We have been remiss, and I feel a little bit bad about this, because if there's... There's things that people out there should know about Hayden.
And certain things you should not know about me.
And one of them is that Hayden is a huge Ghostbusters fan. Probably more
and
than...
First of all, we are huge. We're all huge, huge Ghostbusters
fans. Who's
fan.
Not a huge Ghostbusters fan?
Hayden, he eclipses it. Really. Yeah.
I would say that's your main source of nerdery.
Would you say that's accurate? That's your main go-to fountain of nerdity?
I would say so, because it is the first movie as a child I remember seeing in the theater. in 1984. Wow. Okay. So I don't know if I'm aging myself or not, but that's...
Well, you're aging us, actually.
Yeah, I'm aging everyone here, but except our lovely young co-host over here, Tracy, who's younger than all of us.
I'm so young.
She's the baby.
Yeah, she's the baby. No, this is what kind of got me into the geek nerd pop culture. So that's why I have such a... connection and that's obsession awesome. With it, yes, and a passion about it.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, because Ghostbusters is a solid flick.
Yep.
All right.
And it's celebrating its 30th anniversary this year.
Yeah, which also ages us.
Yeah. And it is getting re-released places in theaters. Well, actually, Hayden, I should just let you talk about it a little bit.
Thank you.
why thank you?
Why thank you, kind sir, my lord.
Hayden has no dick.
I told you, there's certain things people should know. Yeah, so Ghostbusters, 30th anniversary, 1984, June 7th, I think, was the exact date. Give or take a few minutes.
Speaking of aging ourselves, I was opening night at midnight.
Me too. Can I get a high five on that?
You know what?
That's awesome.
Westwood.
I wasn't opening night. I was opening weekend, so I shouldn't have.
I was opening night with my buddy, Steve Rosenfeld. Yeah.
And I remember where I saw it. I wasn't at midnight, but I remember, that movie theater was packed.
I think it was the Mann National in Westwood where I saw it.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's where it opened.
Yeah. And that's impressive. And
it is an enduring movie.
No, sorry. AFCO Cinema Center.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Which is where Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi was. Yeah.
No, and it's one of those movies, and again, it's the first movie I remember. Not only the first movie I remember, the first movie that scared the crap out of me, literally. I think the
library.
The library.
Wait, literally? Did you say literally?
Literally.
So you actually.
Literally in the library.
Yeah. You actually crapped your pants during
I crapped my pants. I had nightmares about library ghosts, green little goblins sliming me, ectoplasm.
Note to self, don't go to a movie with Hayden.
Yeah, getting ectoplasm all over me. I mean, no, seriously. And the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, I'm seriously, nightmares. But what's funny is it's one of those films, and I saw it at 6 years old, so what do you expect? Wow. But when you grow up with it, you appreciate all the little jokes.
Oh, so you were allowed to crap your pants. Okay, that makes sense. All right.
I'm still wearing diapers. What are you talking about?
I saw it at 2. Come on.
Come on.
You're still wearing diapers at 6?
Come on.
Well, are you still breastfeeding in Game of Thrones?
I spent an entire tour wearing diapers.
Yeah, but that was for
you. Oh, different story.
TMI.
Entirely different reasons.
Okay, Fergie.
Fergie?
Didn't she pee on stage? Fergie?
Oh, like she did, I think, yeah.
She had to go and she just peed on stage.
All right.
Wow.
To each their own.
This topic has transcended.
I know.
Yeah. Ghostbusters!
I can name that segue.
Yeah. Anyway, so to make a long news segment short, 30th anniversary, August 29th. It's coming back out in theaters. And by... it came out a couple of years ago. They re-released it a little bit. Me and Tracy went to see it at the ArcLight in North Hollywood, California. And
I wanted to go to that, and I missed it.
They promoted it with
Ernie Hudson
and
Peck.
And Peck Atherton. Yeah. William Atherton.
Who's,
I love him.
And William Atherton did show up. We cornered him in the...
did you tell him he had no dick?
Poor guy. You know, he must hear that all the time.
Apparently, he got really harassed when the movie came out. Like, there were tour buses that would, literally a tour bus, and everyone on it would, like, you dickless. Yeah, no dick.
Oh, my God. That guy.
But you know what? He re-upped for Die Hard, so you can't feel, like, too bad for him, because it's like, I'll play another complete asshole. Let me sign on to this whole train.
You know what? Right. Other show he appeared in somewhat recently, a few years ago. A little J.J. Abrams TV series called Lost.
Do not mention Lost.
Why do you bring up Lost?
You do this on purpose.
I think he does.
You know what? That was actually the second time I had met him. I also met him in the dairy section at Whole Foods in Hollywood.
He's a healthy eater.
Yeah. Obviously not lactose intolerant.
Obviously
things
not.
We know about William Atherton.
Yes. So
I'll remember that if I lose my dick.
He's been very nice and gracious both of the times
I
met him.
He signed his action figure, which I graciously went up to.
And our crystal skulls. Or my crystal skull.
Yeah. No, it was impressive.
What's the connection there?
Because Dan Aykroyd did the crystal skull vodka, and we met him and had him in. He signed the crystal.
Oh, I've got one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I think I took mine just in case. And
you
he
said crystal skull,
it.
And I thought you meant Indiana Jones.
It's the better of the two. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because it's alcohol. But anyway, so re-release August 29th, new Blu-rays, and finally Ghostbusters 2 on Blu-ray. I know everyone's
and new logo, got their own. New logo too, the one and the two.
And the one, yeah,
I don't
cheesy.
Like that.
I hate it. Yeah. I hate it.
Kind of cheesy, but yeah. I don't
you,
mind.
Did you hear that in a recent poll of the top logos of the last 20 years that Ghostbusters
number two?
Yeah, 30, 40. Yeah.
It was Coca-Cola. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
The, yeah. Wow. It's the most recognized logo.
It makes sense. That totally makes sense to me. It's such a
I kind of love that.
Incredible, iconic. You know exactly what it is every time you see it.
No, I love it. I think it's very cool.
Even 2. 2 is a great logo. Although, the only thing that bugged me about 2 is they used it in the movie.
Yeah, that's what bugged me. They should have used the original.
Like, the marketing was great with the 2.
Why would they do
but
that?
In the
I never
movie
understood
was
that.
Weird.
I just think of dead Richard Nixon.
Wow.
I will not capture funny. Another ghost.
Is that random?
It was random, but now that's what I'll think about.
Me too.
All we're going to think about.
Too. That's kind of fucked up.
Anyway, so I'm just excited about it. I've never had, I of course get all the Blu-rays when they come out. So GB2 coming out, and it's not the most, you know, highly reviewed sequel. I took it for what it was. I don't want to get into a Ghostbusters 2 debate.
I kind of do.
You do? Really?
Do. Yeah.
All right, let's get into it.
Midnight. I saw Ghostbusters 2 at midnight.
And did you walk out really sad?
Pissed off. Yeah.
Oh, I saw it really young, too. So I didn't see
so
it with
you were...
a lot of.
10?
So it was 1989 is when it came out?
So yeah. I'm, what, 9 years older?
11.
11.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm 11. So really, where's my taste?
Right.
You know?
No, that's, no, it's an
I was happy to see them come back on screen.
It's an excellent point.
No, me too.
Yeah, so.
And I there's just, moments. There's definitely
no,
moments.
No, there's, I'm not saying that movie is completely bereft of moments or humor or, you know, things that I keep, I thought Peter Nicholson was one of.
He was hilarious.
Was one, agreed. Not Nicholas, Nicholson.
I know what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, yeah. What am I, who's, what's his name? Peter McNichol.
Peter McNichol, yeah.
He, like, I loved his character, and but
it's
yeah,
very formulaic. When you look back at it now, they just tried to recopy.
It was the same movie. It was the same exact movie.
Yeah, and the whole
without the fresh, awesome, kind of like how Kick-Ass 2 was.
Mm.
You know, it suffered the same fate. They did the same thing, and they tried to bring in some other elements, but it just failed.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can't. Wash
lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, you can't wash, rinse, repeat something, you know, like that. It's you've
no,
gotta,
it's got to be something completely different.
You've got to take the sequel has to exist for its own reason.
And now Oscar from that movie is going to be a Ghostbuster.
Well, so that brings us to the next topic, which is there may be a 3.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it looks like there's going to be a 3.
Well, certainly the indications from everyone involved in it is that there is absolutely going to be a 3. I mean, they seem very definite on it.
Well, no, they've confirmed Sigourney Weaver.
She's confirmed for it?
She's confirmed.
She's confirmed.
She's confirmed.
That makes me sad.
Ernie Hudson. See, I agree with you. Like, Ernie Hudson, get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
He's got nothing else going on.
Get it.
Yeah. Now, what else are you doing?
Rick Moranis is kind of surprising.
That blows my mind.
He's confirmed.
He retired.
And he was not going to come back. I mean,
interesting.
He's confirmed.
I'm actually really, that's the only thing I'm really excited about.
Exactly. But then Sigourney Weaver comes on.
But she's been doing movies. Rick Moranis has been gone
for
so long.
No, I know. But then Sigourney Weaver, and she's still a big name. She is.
No, she is. I mean, well, they just announced her for the Avatar sequels as well.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
But
even though she died in the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, well, wait, Alien.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Her canaries. Damn these kamikazes on July 4th. What can I
what
tell
the
you?
Fuck are you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, so...
her canaries.
Her character is directly linked to Peter Venkman, Bill Murray.
See, now
right?
I know
and he's not going to be in it.
Well, okay, I do like... One of the articles said something very interesting, and I, you know, this is me being forever the optimist. It's not going to happen, but... they mentioned that when Ghostbusters 2 came out, that Bill Murray kept saying, nope, 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 not going to do it, not going to do it, not going to do it, until the last fucking
actually,
minute, and then he did it.
Ghostbusters 1.
Oh, no, 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 you're right.
Ghostbusters 1.
1, and also 2.
And 2.
That's why it was
but
a big deal.
And that's how he rolls.
Yeah.
He just...
So...
Yeah, I just... You know what? It's... I would hazard to say that Bill Murray of 2014, 2015 is going to be a very different Bill Murray.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I agree with you.
The one who did not do Garfield 2, you mean?
I think it's debatable whether or not he's a really cool guy or a complete dick.
I don't know. I think he's a cool guy.
I think he's a really cool guy.
Dude, I love that dude. Did you saw you
the
saw
Bachelor
his, the Bachelor Party?
Yeah, Bachelor
Party. The Bachelor Party thing?
And also he was in that couple's engagement
photos. Yeah, and also,
which
of course,
makes me think he's a cool guy. But then
and
he
the Zombieland.
Yeah.
But
then he does certain things, and I'm like, oh, he's such a dick.
Tell me what things you think make him a dick.
Like with Harold Ramis. Yeah. Like they had this battle for, what, like 15 years? And then finally it was Harold
Dan Aykroyd?
No, but it was what the fuck is his name? Which person we're talking about?
Bill Murray,
his brother, who made him make up with Harold Ramis, like on his deathbed, right?
I didn't hear that story.
Yeah,
I heard this.
It was Bill Murray's brother who has also been.
I didn't think that they were estranged. I had no idea.
They were absolutely estranged, and it was like at the last possible minute when Harold Ramis is about to die that he finally was like, "All right, let's make peace." But he let it stew for like 15 years.
I've never heard that story, that's what's really weird about that story is that if you read stories about Bill Murray and Gilda Radner. He is the one that like is bringing everyone else to together mm-hmm. for Gilda Radner.
Totally.
So I don't know where I've
kind of read different stories, and maybe it's and I don't know what the details are of the story you read specifically, but I've heard that maybe not estranged, but they just didn't talk as much. There was like a lot of separation between this group.
Right.
Where they didn't because they used to be real buddy buddy during Groundhog Day and Meatballs and when they were real Stripes and they were making all these movies together. And then there was just this after Ghostbusters 2, just like
I
this
heard
split.
There was like a massive disagreement on one of the last movie that they made together, Groundhog Day, I think it was.
Interesting, because I haven't
I've never heard that.
This is
when Harold Ramis died. It was part of all the articles. That was when I didn't know about it before then.
Well, he did pay tribute at the Oscars, which
and he
was
a great tribute.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just no, and he seems to have, really stepped up in the wake of Harold Ramis's passing. So.
I always say this, like if someone would have told me, like it wasn't like I was around for the first, I was very young for the first Saturday Night Live. My parents were so into it, and then watching it later, of course. I mean, if anyone would have said that Bill Murray was going to be the caliber of actor and star that he is today, mm-hmm. I would have punched him in the mouth just like I would have punched Hayden in the mouth.
Chevy Chase.
Someday
too.
You'll get to punch Hayden in
well,
the mouth.
Well, no, you can't even say that about Chevy Chase because that's not a caliber of actor.
Right. No,
like
not
Bill
at all.
Murray has become a caliber of actor that you have to define.
He's someone you actually seek, the directors and artists actually seek after now. And you know what's interesting is, and I'm sure you've heard this, and you know this isn't going to be the Bill Murray podcast, but or maybe it is. The way that you get a hold of him is basically just on his voicemail,
mm-hmm.
and he's such an interesting cat. I mean, I love the fact that he's so peculiar, and
I love the fact that you said cat.
Someone was just a friend of mine was just telling me about. I guess he was on Anthony Bourdain's show,
mm-hmm.
and normally it's like, okay, we're gonna have us in a car for you, and they're gonna bring you to the place, and blah blah blah. And apparently, Bill Murray was like, no, fuck it, I'll come and I'll pick you up in my car, and we'll go, and we'll, this is what we'll do. And so, like, apparently, like he goes and picks up Anthony Bourdain, and they're like flying through the city at like 100 miles an hour. Manhattan, and he's not looking at the road. He's looking at Anthony Bourdain, and they're like,
see, yeah, you know what I mean? Like the young Bill Murray never went away. And I love that. Like he's like this older dude who just is digging his life. The whole thing about the golf cart when he just took off and stole the golf cart and ended up getting arrested for it, but they let him go, because he was just like, fuck it, I'm stealing a golf cart. I want to hang out with.
Did I tell you about my Bill Murray dream?
No.
I had a dream about Bill Murray where we were no, not exactly.
Bill Murray, are you listening?
But do you remember playing chicken in the pool?
Or Marco Polo.
Define chicken.
No, it's where like
you sit on the shoulders.
You sit on the shoulders and you grab hands off. And you try whoever knock them down first. I had a dream that I was playing chicken and Bill Murray was the person whose like shoulders I was on.
Dude,
you wanted Bill Murray's head between your legs.
I did, apparently. Yeah. But how like can't you just picture Bill Murray doing that?
Yes,
I feel like he would totally play chicken with me in the pool.
Remember when that whole thing happened that turned out to be a total internet Lars, where if you put out, you know, he was going on a tour, and if you put out, and
he'll show up.
Yeah, Bill Murray sleep on my couch, and you know, and email this address, whatever, he might, you know. I did it. Me and my wife at the time, we put out a thing saying Bill Murray sleep in our house. I was so bummed when that turned out to be true.
Well, you know, and Bill Murray, kind of getting back to Ghostbusters a little bit, he kind of talks a lot about not disdain for it. I mean, he wasn't happy with the second one and how it turned out.
Well,
but getting away from that.
I like that you tried.
I was so restrained.
But he gives off the whole, I'm past Ghostbusters, I'm done with it. But he still loves the franchise because he did the video game, which is essentially the third movie. Yes. I've played it.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, it's great. It's actually, it's got all the main cast in it. It's a great, and it's actually a great story.
Right?
It's written by them. It's a great story. You can actually go to YouTube and just watch the videos. You don't have to play the game.
Well, I might do that. Actually.
That's what I mean. I think if they actually pull something awesome from the ashes, that maybe he might come back. But I don't. I do think they're scrambling right now, and I also think that I do think the studios are going to try to throw something together. And I don't blame him for that.
To not be a part of it.
If it was a good enough script, I think that he would be back in a heartbeat.
You've all seen Zombieland, right?
Oh yes.
You know the part where he's there, you know, he's basically, you know, spoiler alert, he's basically
so
dying.
So amazing.
And they're like, any regrets? And he says,
best
Garfield.
Cameo ever.
Right. Yeah. Have you heard him talk about Garfield? This really is turning into the Bill Murray podcast, but,
He didn't know what he was doing.
No,
right?
He thought it was he got his wires crossed because they called him and they said, hey, we want you to be in this movie. The script is written by, I think it's Joel Cohen. And he thought it was one of the Cohen brothers. Because there's a Joel Cohen and the Coen brothers, which is, it's a different spelling of the last name. It's a different guy. So he's like, oh, this is really interesting. Coen brothers Garfield. I'm in. Like, that sounds, that sounds bizarre enough for me to be in on.
Wait, doing Garfield?
Yeah.
I've never heard this before.
So he shows up to do the script and he's like, this is crap. The Coen brothers wrote this? And they're like, oh, no, different Joel Cohen.
He was already signed up.
Yeah, he was already in.
Oh,
wait. And then he did a second one.
I'm sure he was contracted.
Oh, my God. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. And especially with that line, fantastic line. You know,
it's like, and it's, he just kind of, you can feel him kind of going like, oh, I really should have crossed the T.
Which is kind of funny, though.
Where was his agent?
Regardless of that, and regardless of how crappy Garfield was, which it was. I mean, really, except for the guy who originated the voice of Garfield, who would have been a better version. He did such a great voice for
Garfield. I've never seen either of them.
It's awful.
Lorenzo Music.
And he was the door guy from Rhoda.
Yep.
Yeah, speaking.
And he's the true Garfield.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we grew up on anyway.
Yeah. And thank you. Well done, sir.
And I got a little.
Pulled that one right out of my ass,
didn't right.
I got
right.
a little, speaking of pulling things out of John's ass, I got a few, I got a tidbit about voice acting. But before I mention that, you mentioned Zombieland. Actually, the director of Zombieland is been approached to do Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
3.
I've heard that. Is that confirmed?
Ruben Fleischer.
Is that confirmed?
No,
or is it
nothing's
not,
confirmed.
Okay. It's not confirmed. He's been supposedly he's been approached. But if he does it, who knows if Bill Murray comes for a cameo.
Maybe that's why they approached him.
But a little bit of a sidebar. Did you see the one episode that was put up on Amazon for Zombieland, the series?
It was bad.
No.
It was not bad.
I thought it was bad.
They're doing a Zombieland series?
No, it was not good.
Okay.
But I thought I could see that going. I thought that could develop. I really did.
All right. See, I disagree with you on that. I mean, I felt like it was miscast.
Okay, the guy who played Woody Harrelson
in
that movie was the one who was supposed to play him to begin with.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have liked it.
I agree. I totally agree. He was horrible.
Yeah, I didn't like him at all.
Yeah, no, he was awful.
Yeah, so, I mean, as far as, like, you know, this was a pilot, basically, and it's for a Zombieland TV show. Well,
I don't even know why they didn't. I don't know why Zombieland 2 didn't get okayed. I really don't understand. It was a hit at the box office.
I don't get it either. And it was a great, it was a fun movie.
That movie kicked ass.
No, I loved it. And it was such a surprise, and that I love when that happens. Did you know that Zombieland, the movie, was originally supposed to be a TV show?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like a funny Walking Dead, almost.
Yeah. And it was, if you look at where, it's kind of interesting, you can kind of see the shift in the movie where, apparently it was supposed to end kind of right when they meet the two girls.
The two girls.
Mm. And they take their car and it's like, oh, what the hell do we do now? And you can kind of see in the movie that it's like really, really, really solid up until that point. And then it kind of meanders.
And then it's like, oh, what do we do now?
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting because you can tell that they spent like years and years and years developing the first half of the movie. And then kind of threw the second half of the movie together. And it still works. I still love it. But it's not as tight the second half as the first half.
I did like that they carried over the rules.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I loved the storyline about how everybody they tried to save, they ended up killing because they were so...
No, look, I mean, I actually think the idea of a Zombieland show is a great idea. And when I heard it was coming, I was such a huge proponent of that idea.
Yeah.
And then I saw it and I was like, oh, it's poorly, poorly cast.
Yeah.
That was the killer.
I didn't mind any, everybody else, but the Woody Harrelson character I thought was horrible.
I don't know. I think maybe his...
The opening was amazing.
It was good.
Car dealership was incredible.
Like I said, I can see that being a show. I went, casting is such a huge deal. Yeah.
Would you have had a problem with it if you had never seen Zombieland the movie?
Yeah.
No. Still.
It was still the casting was bad.
It was still bad. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, and the other thing that you kind of brought up was the, speaking of cartoons and voices, you know, Ghostbusters, right. One of the most popular forms of Ghostbusters was the real Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah. There was the gorilla Ghostbusters. And that was crap.
Yeah.
And that went on for a little while, and then the real Ghostbusters came out.
At that point in time, I was kind of making that transition from like, oh, the cartoons aren't cool anymore. So I wasn't really into it. But what was the difference between those two shows? I mean, it was...
The writing, like...
The stories?
The animation. Mm-hmm. It went from, like, 6 frames per second to possibly 18.
I only remember
there was no gorilla.
Yeah.
I only remember the real one. I don't remember the other one.
The real Ghostbusters kicked ass. And I'm, you know, we're in the same boat. Like, that was not when I was watching. Well, yeah. I mean, I've always been, I like Saturday morning cartoons. But it was so good. It actually was the...
But there was a period of time. There's a period of time I think everyone goes through where you're kind of like, I'm going to distance myself from childish things, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And for me, that was that point in time. I didn't get into Ghostbusters. I didn't get into Thundercats. I didn't. You know, there's.
Oh yeah, Thundercats. Oh, no,
I
Gem.
Love
no.
I miss.
I'm killing me, people.
I miss those things.
Gummy bears.
Yeah.
Darkwing Duck.
Oh God.
Whoa. No. Darkwing Duck, no, that was not my
no.
that was my, not my thing.
Gargoyles? No, not Gargoyles. No,
Gargoyles.
DuckTales.
No.
DuckTales. Oh.
But see, then I came back.
I kind of like DuckTales a little
DuckTales
bit.
DuckTales is all right.
I like DuckTales.
I came back. I think I really started to come back on board with Animaniacs. You know, that was like.
That was a great
show. Animaniacs, Tiny Toons.
Yeah.
Freakazoid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you watch Ren and Stimpy?
Definitely. Stories about that, too.
I hated that show.
I loved it.
I love Ren and Stimpy.
The only SNICK show that I hated.
Really?
Blasphemy.
That. Oh.
It was so gross. It's big, it's heavy, it's gross wood. Things, but it was so gross.
Everyone loves a log.
So does Tracy. So
hello.
I meant the wood. You have a fireplace.
Just drink another kamikaze. Yeah. It'll be fun.
I do like logs.
and kamikaze. Cheers.
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 Salud.
Kamikaze.
Just to wrap up the real Ghostbusters thing.
Fourth of July.
I was going to say, it was just an adult. To me, it was a representation of a franchise that was kind of done accurately, and it brought in an adult theme to cartoons in representing the franchise properly.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is that what I kind of liked was the voice work was excellent, too, especially Dr. Venkman was done by... Dave Coulier, which
from Full House.
From Full House.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Hey, did you, speaking of Dave Coulier, this is kind of random, but did you hear this recently? You know, like it's always been kind of presupposed that he was the guy in the Alanis Morissette You Ought to Know song.
Absolutely. No, I thought that was common knowledge.
They've said it for years.
No, right. They said it for years, right? But then recently he just came out and said it wasn't him.
Well, he did. But no.
Wait a minute.
This is a couple weeks old now, right? He basically said when that song came out, he went to Alanis and said,
"Yeah,
who is this about?"
Well, it's because it's the only line, and it was, I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner. That's the one that he went. Oh shit, that might be me.
Right. So he said, I went to Alanis. I said, who's the song about? She said, it's really could be about anybody.
Right.
Tell people whatever you want.
Right. Yeah.
So apparently he was on the red carpet one time. People keep bugging him about the song. They're like, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? And he's like, finally, he just goes, it's me.
No.
Right. Oh. So everyone goes, oh, that song's about Dave Coulier. Now he's come out and said,
It's kind of like You're So Vain, where nobody really right. knows.
Right. It's exactly what it's like. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, like, the mystery is open. I mean, and I don't really think it's a mystery. I think it's probably that she's writing the song about an amalgamation of people in her life. But, you know, it's just so interesting that it's kind of been like, oh, well, that person is clearly Dave Coulier. That's who that was written about. And now he's going, maybe not so much.
So,
wow. Yeah, interesting.
Like, my world is kind of shattered a little
bit. Okay, a little addendum to this that I think is fucking hysterical is that she was asked about it one time as well, and she said the same thing. She said, you know, I think it's really funny that everybody asks me about this. I'm going to save the punchline till the end, even though she started with it. But she pretty much said that, you know, anyone who's ever dated me, you know, if they did right, I'm paraphrasing, if they did right by me, then they know the song's not about them. If they didn't, then maybe it was. But she called that ironic.
Oh. So she's scratched a lot of backs.
Is that what they call it these days?
And she also doesn't know what irony is.
And she wrote a song about it.
Thanks for spelling it out for us, Hayden.
There's a song called Ironic.
You ought to know.
By the way, Dave Coulier likes hockey. He's a huge hockey fan.
So listen,
isn't he Canadian?
Would you like to talk about the Kings a little bit more?
Thank God.
Yeah, well, our podcast, I don't know if you know this, but we're transitioning into a sports
next podcast. Week we'll be talking about hockey, nothing.
Which
nothing
is great because the thing you want most in a sports podcast is three people who don't give a shit about sports and one guy who does.
Only about hockey, though.
GeekOutlaw.com, taking over Pod Thingy.
You know what I think, not to get completely off the Ghostbusters thing for a moment, but you're talking about the real Ghostbusters, and one thing that just came to light to me, which I thought was very interesting. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Ghostbusters 2, but I heard that they changed Annie Potts' look between the first movie and the second movie to kind of being more in line with the real Ghostbusters show. Is that true?
Yeah, and that's the if you actually look at the character, because she went through a very odd change from the first movie to the second movie. She was kind of like
the simple
secretary with the big glasses, and then she kind of went to this very cartoony caricature. In Ghostbusters 2, a lot of things kind of got a little cartoony, I want to say. But Annie Potts, definitely. That character was really oddball. I mean, that was kind of the weird things for me in that movie.
I love Annie Potts.
I don't love Annie Potts, but was that a double negative?
Pretty in Pink?
No, she's great.
She's
Corvette
great
Summer?
Actress, but
Corvette Summer.
I'm just talking what they did to the character. It was kind of strange.
You know what? I also loved her in a movie. I don't remember what the final title was. I saw it as a preview screening. It was called Sketches. I don't know if anyone else has seen this movie. Mm-hmm. It was C. Thomas Howell. Jason Bateman and Annie Potts. And who was the third person?
Wait, what year was this?
I want to say early 90s.
Really?
Yeah. And Jason Bateman played a character that was suffering from, he was dealing with cancer. And his final wish.
Which is always funny.
Yeah, it's always funny. No, but his final wish was to be on Jeopardy. So it was this cross-country trek of these three guys, and they pick up Annie Potts on the way as a waitress.
Sort of like
fanboys. Yeah.
Yeah, it was this cool little movie, and I know it eventually came out under a different title. I don't remember what it was called, but Annie Potts is great. I love her.
I drank gallons and gallons of Ecto Cooler. We called it Slimer juice in our house.
Oh my God, I forgot about Ecto Cooler.
And I would always pour pickle juice in a glass and try to get my brother to drink it. That it was Ecto Cooler, and he did a couple times, and it was great.
It was basically 107% sugar. Wow. I think, yeah. High C.
They need to bring back Ecto Cooler.
Yeah. Is High C still around?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
my colon just hurt because of thank
so
you.
What, it pinged.
So what else is going on with the anything else special about the 30th anniversary?
There was a 30th anniversary art gallery. Went around in LA that I was a part of.
You know what else is suffering? Suffering.
Yeah.
You know what else is having an anniversary and has a gallery coming out? Is Batman. Batman.
Oh my God. Yes.
75.
Oh, which I'm very excited about.
A few more years than Ghostbusters.
Yeah. 75th anniversary for Batman. There's been a bunch of things coming out about it, but there's a Hollywood gallery. Where's it at? I forget where it's at now. I just read it.
I feel like it's on one of the lots, one of the movie lots.
Yeah, it was.
Warner Brothers?
You can only see it if you're on the VIP Warner Brothers tour.
Oh, that sucks. You know what? It's so funny. It's one of those ones where it looks like it's much bigger in the pictures, but when you get there, it's like two Batmobiles and three masks.
You think so?
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
So you think it's going to be limited?
So I got really excited about the Thor exhibit at Disneyland and in the what used to be the House of Tomorrow area. Mm-hmm. And it was really tiny. It was like one little tiny room, and I was so bummed. But so seeing the pictures of the Batman one, that's what it looked like to me.
Well, Blaine, I have no idea because we've only seen pictures of this thing, right? But it seems really cool, and I'd love to see the original Batmobile from the Burton Batmobile
with the wings that flap in the wind.
Yeah, they had the Burton one, but then they had the Schumacher one with all the lights. Yeah,
the drill.
You know what? When we went to see.
Dark Knight?
We went to see Dark Knight at the ArcLight, and the second weekend that it was there, not the opening weekend, strangely, but the second weekend it was there, they had the Tumbler.
The Tumbler was there,
And the Batpod, right?
I think when we came back, because we went back and watched it again.
We went about a couple of times.
Yeah. I think the Batpod was there the next time we saw it.
And that was cool.
ArcLight is the best for that.
Like, we saw Inglourious Basterds there, and Quentin Tarantino came. You know, and then we saw Iron Man, was it 2, right?
It was 2. Well, it was 2, and you and I saw.
That was an interesting story, actually. We went and saw, they did a double feature, so you went and saw Iron Man first and then Iron Man 2. That was a bad idea.
Bad idea.
Good movie?
Yeah.
Because then it's a letdown.
I know, because it's such a contrast. I mean, if you'd just seen Iron Man 2, it would have been one thing.
Right.
But to see Iron Man 1 and then going to Iron Man 2, it was like, oh.
But the nice thing was that Robert Downey Jr. was there.
Yeah.
He's like this tall.
Perfect size for me.
What, height-wise?
Wow. Again, how long is your list? Every single podcast, there's someone on your list.
I know.
Good thing your husband doesn't listen.
It's okay. He's got his one person on his cheat sheet.
His one.
I've got my
Kate
20.
Upton?
Your 480.
Kate Upton is on there.
I remembered.
She's like, I have my one Excel spreadsheet.
I can't help it if I'm far nerdier than he is, you know? What are you going to do?
So is anyone going?
His loss.
Yeah, that's true. Anyone going to see the Batman exhibit?
I think we're going together.
Are we all going to go? Yeah, we're making that happen.
I'd like to make that happen.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
No way I'm missing that. No way.
I've never been on that tour, so I would like to do that anyway.
What else is on the Warner Brothers tour? Have you ever been?
Pata?
To be honest with you, the Warner Brothers tour, first of all, it doesn't cost that much. It's also a lot better if you know somebody, which I do. I think you do, too. I mean, we can probably get in there anyway. But
so we'll finagle our way in.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. That won't be a problem. But
There's not a lot on it.
Their backlot is great, but their backlot, I hung out on the original Fright Night porch one.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was great.
Yeah.
That neighborhood is intact.
That's nice.
Yeah. But they don't have a lot on the tour. It's mostly backlot.
Can I just say, Fright Night is not a series that ever should have been rebooted.
Are you talking about the TV show or the new movie reboot?
Oh, the movie reboot.
That was horrible.
I kind of liked it, but I'm a big David Tennant fan, so I just saw it recently, actually. I didn't see it for several years.
You know, it's just, you could have made that same Fright Night reboot movie and called it something different. It was so far afield of the original. I don't understand what the need is to reboot things constantly.
Well, we know why they do it, but what is the?
No, I do know why. I know it's the audience recognition. I know that it's a safe bet. But man, how?
Well, it's like we made $1 million, and by a million I mean $1 billion 20 years ago. We can probably make $1 billion on this now.
Well, right.
In some cases, you're appealing to the old fans, but also trying to engage new fans, like Star Trek. I would say that Star Trek is that way.
Yeah, but the Star Trek reboot, I mean, it's so specific as far as a reboot goes. I mean, it was very deft, and it was very deliberate, the decision to reboot that franchise, because you could have gone either way there, you know? But I just feel like for every reboot that's successful, for every Star Trek, for every
Dread,
it's it's debatable whether, I think the Dread reboot was critically successful. I think it was a successful movie. I don't know that it didn't make a lot of money.
Wait, no, it's not a successful movie.
No, I'm saying.
Oh, you mean cinematically?
Cinematically,
yeah. Fan-wise, yeah. Oh, great. Yeah,
but it was not a successful flick as far as box office goes.
Not at all. Hell, they've gone to Kickstarter to get a graphic novel made. They've got petitions going out to get a second movie made.
Yeah, so it's I would put that in. You know, it's hard because you look at Dread and you go, that's great that because the Stallone Dread was abysmal. You know, it was horrible.
It was campy. Yeah.
I am the law.
I like Sandra Bullock, though.
What, did anybody see the reboot of RoboCop? I never saw
it. Are you thinking about Demolition Man?
Oh, maybe I am.
She wasn't
in Judge Dredd.
No,
yeah,
it was
Rob Schneider.
I just remember her and Stallone in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody see the reboot of RoboCop? I never saw
it. Oh, my God. Don't see it.
But they're also doing Footloose and Dirty Dancing.
Done Dirty Dancing?
No, they were going to. I think they actually put the kibosh on it.
I heard they actually finally kind of went, no, they weren't going
to
do
here's
that.
A, Thank you know, God. There's another element to this outside of even box office, I think a lot of these studios think of, and it's like merchandise. You talk about action figures, you talk about tie-ins with all these kinds of things.
Is it profitable enough to make it worth it, though? I mean, are kids going out getting Dread?
With the original RoboCop film, I want to take RoboCop for example. Great movie for its time. It stands the test of time. It didn't need a reboot.
You don't have to say for its time.
But it's a great movie. Right, mm-hmm. It didn't need a reboot. It didn't even need sequels.
Yeah.
It was a great standalone movie. But it kind of came out at a time where there's not this draw for I want the RoboCop figure. I want this and I want that. All of that stuff. I don't know. I've noticed, especially going to a lot of these Comic Cons, there's so many collectibles for all of these properties and franchises. I feel like
I had mine 2000.
Yeah, and I feel like these studios see this as this is even like a side pot to the main pot draw, where they see they're gonna sell figures, they're gonna sell posters and memorabilia and all sorts of stuff that really wasn't as popular and in the mainstream.
But RoboCop failed miserably.
Well, and I'm not saying that was a
total
good flick.
Recall.
I'm just saying
failed
that
miserably.
The Total Recall, two Verhoeven movies that didn't need to be rebooted at all.
I have, for the record, I have not seen the RoboCop remake for good reason. And I've heard a couple people in recent memory say it was a good movie,
I've also heard
the
RoboCop
people who like the original that have said, hey, it was a decent movie. It just shouldn't have been a RoboCop movie.
Exactly.
I can see that. Well, because, I mean, it's a completely different movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, except that if you know the original one. Yeah, exactly. If you know the original one, then you got pissed off at the changes.
Right. And that's what they seem to do a lot of the time. You're rebooting something that people love, and you're making changes to it. So why?
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know if this really qualifies because it's kind of perpetually rebooted, and but Batman, obviously when they look at something like Batman Begins and Dark Knight making a shit ton of money, that kind of gives studios kind of cause to contemplate rebooting further properties. I mean, I think there's a difference between a Batman and a Fright Night. I feel like there's a difference between something that is kind of mythical in a way, and it can continually gets rebooted both in the comics and in culture and in shows and movies and whatnot, and something like Fright Night, which is just, or RoboCop, which is just a good movie that doesn't need, it's not mythical, it's not something, it's not a perpetuating tale, it doesn't need that constant recycle.
And with Batman too, you're talking about a character who has different incarnations in the comics, so that it can be represented in different ways on film, versus RoboCop was just it was a concept put on film, it worked, it was awesome, why does it need another incarnation?
So what I don't think there's any one of us that's going to say reboots in as a whole are bad. Am I right about that?
As a whole, no.
But do you think that they're way overdone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So also, not to take away from what you said, but, it's like I've said this a million times, Platinum Dunes.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why I completely, don't go to Michael Bay movies is because of Platinum Dunes. They're the ones who are behind most of the horrible horror.
Nightmare on Elm Street,
Friday the 13th, you know, like and they
Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
and they have more coming, you know.
I think they're gonna do some Hitchcock, right? They're gonna do The Birds.
Yes, they're gonna do Birds. They also, I think, they, if I'm not mistaken, they also did Prom Night.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, fuck you.
How often? What is the ratio, do you think, of reboots working versus not working?
That would be really interesting to work out, and I think we probably should have done some research on that.
I mean, if I could just throw a number out there, I would say like 1 in 50. I mean,
yeah, because
I mean, look at Carrie. Look at
Carrie flopped. And I will admit that Carrie, the one with you know, the one with Hit Girl in it, was probably the only remake that I was actually sort of like, hey, I might actually see that, and I didn't, you know, but
it got horrible reviews.
It got horrible reviews. That turned me off.
And is there a difference? Because, you know, Carrie was originally a book, you know, so is there a difference between, you know, doing a different version of the source material?
Well, apparently they were going to go closer to the source material, and they had great casting, too.
You know, they're rebooting It.
Right.
You know, that's, and they
don't like clowns.
What about like, speaking of Hit Girl, what about movies like Let the Right One In and Girl with the Dragon Tattoo? Something that's a foreign movie that they remake.
I would call those remakes.
No, those are American re-envisionings. And the funny thing about that is that Let the Right One In is so far superior to Let Me In.
I feel the same way.
And then Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, I feel the opposite.
You like the American version better?
Absolutely. And here's why. I feel bad saying this. It pisses me off when foreign movies try too hard to emulate Western culture.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it tried so hard to be an American movie, and I was like, don't do this. Be your own movie. And therefore, if you want to make an American movie out of it, then yeah, we'll do it better.
But you didn't feel like they were trying to imitate the original Swedish movie?
Which one?
Swiss
the movie? The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yeah.
David Fincher did a better job.
You think so?
Well,
there were things that I liked about each.
Again,
that, you know,
they were making an American movie.
Both of those movies were based on source material. Yeah. You know, so you're not talking about just remaking a movie versus like Funny Games, which was a remake, mm-hmm. or The Vanishing, which was mm-hmm. a remake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you
know,
about adaption.
Yeah, you're talking about adapting source material. So it's like neither one of Let Me In or Let the Right One In really was completely faithful to the source material. I mean, the source material is pretty out there.
It's
very interesting. It's worth a read, you know. But it's you know, I think that Let the Right One In got closer, and I loved seeing it. And maybe it's just the fact that I saw it first.
That movie is amazing. I love that movie.
I agree.
And then
with you.
What did we do as Americans? We brought CGI in.
Yeah,
we made a CGI little girl.
Yeah.
That was bullshit. Like it was horrible.
You know, I just wonder sometimes.
Not to mention, they did it shot for shot, and I would have respected it better if they would have
kind of departed more.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, made it. If you're gonna do an American revisioning of it, then make it an American revisioning.
We're gonna have to wrap up in a couple minutes, but I wanted to just really quick say, and we talked a lot about reboots. What is the most successful reboot in your opinion? Go.
I don't know. If this is the most successful, but it's one the one that came to mind first. And I it's weird. I'm gonna say it. Of reboots that we haven't talked about.
Yeah. Sure. Well, whatever.
I mean. Most successful, I would say Batman. I would say the Nolan Batman universe.
Okay,
but I was strangely happy with the Evil Dead reboot.
Okay,
and the weird thing about that is not because it was a good reboot because it's not, and not because it's a great movie because it's not, and not because it's scary because it's not. But goddamn it, I love that movie so much. It's so goddamn fun.
Just because it's of the gore, or what made you love that movie?
The way it was shot. The way they tweak the story, the gore, I have not had that much fun with gore. And ever since the original Evil Dead, which was a completely different type of gore. But I have to admit that was a reboot that I thought was going to be shitty. And now I welcome.
That's something we'll have to discuss in a future podcast because, you know, the idea that now they're developing an Army of Darkness 2. Yes. And then eventually those two, the reboot and the original
are going to meet up.
Yeah, are going to meet up, which is batshit.
Baby, awesome. You got real ugly.
Hayden, hey, best reboot, what do you think?
The one that comes to the top of my head, personally to me, is the Star Trek J.J. Abrams 2009, just because...
Fucker, he stole mine.
maybe you have a different reason. Not because he made Star Trek cool, but he made it relevant again.
Yeah.
Just with the way they rebooted the universe, the story was brilliant.
Yeah,
and
it
was great.
And such a great job.
I appreciated that, and I like Star Trek. So.
Well, I'm going to say ditto to Hayden because he totally stole the words out of my mouth. But I would say also Dread. I think that was a very successful reboot. I think it was one of the few movies that was better than the original.
And, you know, it's funny. It's like when you brought it up earlier, I totally thought that was like premature ejaculation because I knew this question was coming. And I totally agree with you. I think the Dread reboot is amazing.
I have that problem sometimes.
You do not have that problem.
Everyone
I'm
has
sure.
that problem. What are we talking
no,
about?
No, everyone does not have that problem.
What are we talking about? I don't know.
I would have to say Return to Oz.
Thank you for listening to Pod Thing.
And on that note,
we're out. Yay! Yay.
John's mic went out accidentally. I don't know what happened.
Honestly,
we have no hosts.
So funny because in order of how I would have said, I would have said Batman, I would have said Star Trek, I would have said Dread, so fuck you all. So I end up with Return to Oz. Look, this was, what episode are we even on anymore?
Nine. Who cares? My favorite number.
No. I think we're on 10 now.
Do you want to know why it's my favorite number?
This is 10. We're in double digits.
Oh, we're on 10.
Yeah. Aw, fuckers.
Double digits.
I didn't get to say why 9's my favorite
Would you like
number.
To say it now?
Just say it.
9 is my favorite number because I'm obsessive compulsive and it's 3 threes.
You've been listening to Pod Thingy. My name is John. We've got July 4th weekend
4th of
coming.
July. Let's pimp it.
Yeah.
July
Happy
4th.
Birthday, America. America, fuck yeah.
So have a great 4th of July weekend. We'll be back next time. Same time, same place, same channel. Goodbye, everyone.
This has been an episode of Pod Thingy. Join us next time for more geekery and nerdism.